And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about never underestimate the power of God. I can't believe it. Here it is, 16 years, almost to the day, since I became your pastor. Betty, my wife, says, I can't believe that you're still a pastor of a church. But it's still as exciting for me today as it was years ago when I got ready to lead my first worship service for you, with you. I still wake up every morning at 5 or 5:30 to begin thinking about what we can do as a church to reach others for our Lord. Every Sunday I look out on this crowd and I see all of you wonderful people. You realize that some of you that were here when I first started have heard, let's see now, I figured this up, it's 48 sermons a year for 16 years. I think that's 768 sermons. And of course, there were a couple that I didn't make, but anyway, think of that, 750 sermons and you're still here. I can't believe that. Oh, yeah. Every Sunday seems to me to still be refreshing and inspiring, and I love it. I love to come to our beautiful sanctuary on Sunday morning with all these 23 beautiful stained glass windows. And some of you remember the old purple windows that we used to have up there, you know. When I first came, they were hideous. In fact, I remember one lady who said, every time I go to church, I never look up because I can't stand those hideous, hideous windows. And then two or three of them began to leak, you know, when it rained. And so I said to the station, we got to replace those windows. And then we went down to a commercial window company, and they said, well, it's going to cost $1,000 a window, and then it's just plain glass, colored glass, and there's 14 of them, you know, and it'll cost you around $14,000. And I said, we haven't got anywhere near $14,000. We're just a small church. And I said, let's pray about it. And so we did. And God sent us a couple of retired Catholic sisters whose mission in life was to beautify churches. And they came in, and I remember one of them kind of squinted up here at one of the windows and said, we will give you beautiful stained glass windows for $700 a window. And then she asked me, what do you want to put on those windows? And I said, for $700 a window, I don't care what you put up there. And anyway, they did. They put it up there, and then we put the thickest plastic we could buy on the outside so that nobody can throw any rocks through it and that sort of thing. We think we have the most beautiful small church in San Diego. And the money for them? We never put on any kind of a drive for money. In this church, we've never done that. And we don't have to. All we have to do is just pray about it. And we told the members and friends just what happened and what we needed, and the money was there. Never underestimate the power of God. Yes, we have a beautiful stained glass windows. Many of you remember 16 years ago when the church buildings cried out to the public. They'd come walking down the street, and the building itself would call out, don't come to our church because we're dying. And how we all slowly worked together, refurbishing the fellowship hall and pouring cement sidewalks and parking areas and restuccoing the sanctuary building and creating the beautiful landscaping. It looked like an impossible job, but never underestimate the power of God. Remember back in 1998, how Presbytery was going to close our church down because we only had about 20 or 25 people out on a Sunday morning for services. They told all the members that they were going to close it. And everybody knew about it. And then the members began praying for somebody to help them. And at that time, I didn't have anything to do. I was between, I didn't have any kind of a job in the church, and I was praying for some place to serve. The Lord brought us together. And, you know, they brought us together, but, you know, nobody told me they were going to close the church. So I just rolled up my sleeves, went to work on it. And after I was here about 2 or 3 weeks, presbytery called me over to their office, and they told me, "Now comfort the people." Well, I said, "That sounds pretty good, but I don't understand." You know, I didn't tell them that, but I just thought, "Well, that's pretty good, but I don't understand what you're talking about." And so most of you know about how we began silently praying for God's help and guidance in every Sunday service, every meeting in the church. And then all the miracles that happened in the men's and women's groups, and our Heritage Weekend when we welcomed all the former members and pastors back, and our Dial Hope telephone outreach ministry that's reached thousands of callers, and our video courses to help people with their lives. And looking back over the past 16 years, all I can say is that God is wonderful. And God has helped us to create many miracles. But the most important thing that God has helped us do is to help people with their lives. I'd like to share with you some of the things that I have observed over the years of how God has helped change people's lives in our church. I've seen people who haven't attended church in years start coming to our church regularly and with a whole new way of living. I've seen people addicted to drugs and alcohol come to our church and commit their lives to God, and over the years turn their lives around and get jobs and take responsibility and become leaders in our church. I've seen people on welfare come to our church and regain their self-esteem and get employment and get off the welfare rolls and become responsible men and women. I've seen nominal Christians grow into mature Christians through their participation in our worship services and our classes. But the most important thing I've observed is all the members and friends of our church grasping the real faith and belief in the reality and the power of God in our church and in their lives, as we have witnessed to the power of God working miracle after miracle in our church. Oh, who would have thought 12 years ago that through the inspiration of our Dial Hope telephone outreach ministry that we would reach and help thousands of people for our Lord in our community and across the nation? All this from a church with only 75 members. Our Dial Hope How to Do It telephone manual, Dial Hope manual, the team can help other churches start Dial Hopes in their churches. It's gone to 135 churches in 35 states and Canada. And if all these churches have begun a Dial Hope ministry, even with a minimum daily response of 10 people a day, the potential is something where about 500,000 calls and 50,000 prayer requests annually. Talk about evangelism and outreach. The power of God using us and is awesome, as the younger generation would say. We have had about 5,000 calls and about 2,000 prayer requests over the past 12 years. All this from a little church with only 75 members. My message titled today is "Never Underestimate the Power of God," and we're living proof of that fact. I'd like to share with you this morning some responses I've received from those people who have called our Dial Hope ministry, both in our community and across the nation. You know, some people think that Dial Hope telephone is nothing, you know, it doesn't. There are people right here in our church today that came to our church because of Dial Hope. But some of the kinds of prayer requests that we've received over the years: I'm a single mother and 3 children studying for law degree. Pray for me. My daughter needs peace. Pray for her. I'm 9 years old. My aunt just had an operation. Pray for her. I'm in pain. Pray for me. I'm beginning a new job. Pray for me. You kept me from having a nervous breakdown. One of the most memorable requests that prayer requests that I had was from a lady, and she says, I can't sleep because of anxiety and panic attacks. I saw your ad in the newspaper, and I called, and thank you so much. And then there was a few seconds with nothing, and then her voice came on again, and she said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning now. I got my husband's Bible and began reading the Psalms. It's not like yours, but it's helping me, and I hope you don't mind me calling your machine. And then there was a few more seconds, and her voice came on again, and she said, it's 4:30 now. I'm calmed down. Everyone's asleep. I can go to sleep now. I want you to know that I'm recovering from drugs and alcohol, and after listening to you, I have hope again. You helped me to continue my 19 months of sobriety. I almost lost it tonight. Thank you again for your message. Pray for me. Some letters I received from people who have called our Dial Hope are quite revealing. I appreciate your Dial Hope line very much because my health is so bad that I am not able to go to church. So Dial Hope is a real blessing. Another states, for some time now, I've been listening to Dial Hope, sometimes quietly and prayerfully, sometimes frantically, with a profuse and unpredictable sinus condition or some other problem demonstrates the frailty of the human condition, and my heart is beating too fast in fearfulness. Always, the message has helped me to regain inner equilibrium and our focus on higher and to focus on higher levels of being. I don't think anyone should listen without a pen in hand to capture some of the jewels for later reflection. And then another note came to us. One day, looking for help in the phone book, I found you under Dial Hope. You truly have been a candle in the pitch blackness. When I was so low, I had to look up to see my toes. The readings are so uplifting. I keep you on redial on my telephone. A million thank yous aren't enough for the aid that you've given me. Here's another letter. Sometimes things are difficult, and we need to live through them. Not everything works out the way we plan, but we need to keep trying. It's great to be able to reach out for help and receive it. I give thanks after just one ring. A familiar voice on the other end offers reassurance. I'm connected with help to guide me. The calmness, understanding, and the power of prayer makes everything okay. My weakness is overcome, and I'm given strength. I cannot thank you enough. But I do not understand how it is that the Dial Hope message has changed daily. Each time I call it, it seems my troubles are addressed and answered. I trust in all you say, and my faith grows. I wonder if others benefit as much as I do. You make life wonderful. And then another person wrote, life has difficulties. Tough problems can wake us at 2:30 in the morning. Dial Hope is available at all times for the urgent need to, again, to regain, what happened to it, to regain my strength and health. Well, I must have lost one of the things here. That's all right. You get the idea what's going on. People are calling in. They're getting help. And that's what we as a church are. We're here to help people. I just wanted to share these thoughts with you about the last 16 years of our church's ministry to ourselves and to others. But the important thing is for each of us never to underestimate what God can do for us in our own lives. We all carry with us the memories of our childhood. happy memories of when we won a race or we drew a picture or did something people liked about us. We also picked up habits that we still do it today. I recall a town race in a small town, Pawpaw, Michigan, and we had a Greek festival, and then the kids would get out on the streets, and then we'd have races, and then the merchants would give us prizes, and I won one of those races, and I went to the merchant and got a jackknife. I remember that, and it was a happy time, you see. And I still change my clothes when I get home after work. But some of us suffer what today is called child abuse, and we carry negative thoughts in our minds. What I'm trying to say this morning is that God can help us with our lives, past, present, and future, if we seek God's help. As in our scripture for this morning, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, seek and you will find help for our lives. God can help us remember the positive and the happy times, and God can help us put the unhappy times in a perspective that takes the hurt away when we concentrate on the good times of the past and present and the future. Like anything else in life, we have to work at it. And it will take time, but it will happen. No matter what our situation in life is, God can and will help us to a wonderful life of love and peace and power and happiness beyond our dreams if we ask God to come into our lives and help us, and if we seek God out. In our scripture for this morning, in the Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 7th and 8th verse, Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and anyone who seeks will find, and the door will be opened to him who knocks. Notice it doesn't say ask and maybe you will receive, or seek and maybe you will find, or knock and maybe the door will be opened. No, Jesus says ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. It's clear. We've got to ask and seek and knock. And we can do this by first praying and asking God to come into our lives. And then we need to actively seek God every day by reading a page of the day in the Psalms, a page a day in the Proverbs, and a page a day in the New Testaments, and praying and asking God's help every day. And then, if we regularly worship and study with other Christians, we will find the presence of God in our lives. And if you don't have a Bible, see me and I'll get a Bible for you. Right now is a good time to ask God to come into our lives. In a moment of silent prayer, let's do it today. Let's just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins of the past, and help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives in a very real way this morning. Forgive all of our mistakes and sins of the past, and help us to really find the reality of your love in our lives for today and next year and the future of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.